Good evening. How are you doing? That's good. How about the rest of you? Doing blessed? Welcome. Good to see y'all this evening. And those of us online, if you would, stand if you can. We're going to start out by singing Sitting at the Feet of Jesus. Sitting at the feet of Jesus, wondrous words I hear him say. Happy place so near, so precious. Find me there each day. Sitting at the feet of Jesus, I reflect upon the past. For his love has been so gracious, it has won my heart at last. Sitting at the feet of Jesus, is there anywhere more blessed? There I lay my sins and sorrow, and when weary find his rest. Sitting at the feet of Jesus, there I worship and I pray, while I from his fullness gather grace and comfort for today. Bless me, O my Father, bless me. All my inner life renew. Now look down in love upon me. Let me catch a glimpse of you. Give me, Lord, the mind of Jesus. Make me holy through his word. May I prove I've been with Jesus, been with him, my risen Lord. Amen. Thank you.
Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me, this I know, as he loved so long ago, taking children on his knee, saying, let them come to me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me, he will stay close beside me on my way. He's prepared a home for me, and someday his face I'll see. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Amen. Pick a hymn? All right. Miss Bicky, I've been practicing that one. Oh, man. You want to do that one? All right, let's try it.
Which one is it?
621. Tell me the old story.
Yeah.
And A. Catherine Hanke wrote the text, and it's similar to another hymn she wrote over on page 444. But, yeah, a little bit. Let's see if we can get this one right tonight. Tell me the old story of unseen things above, of Jesus and his glory, of Jesus and his love. Tell me the story simply as to a little child, for I am weak and weary and helpless and defiled. Tell me the old story. Tell me the old story. Tell me the old story of Jesus and his love. Tell me the story slowly, that I may take it in, that wonderful redemption, God's remedy for sin. Tell me the story often, for I forget so soon. The early dew of morning has passed away at noon. Tell me the old story. Tell me the old story. Tell me the old story of Jesus and his love. Tell me the same old story when you have cause to fear that this world's empty glory is costing me too dear. Tell me the story always, if you would really be in any time of trouble, a comforter to me. Tell me the old story. Tell me the old story. Tell me the old story of Jesus and his love. Amen. Praise the Lord. You want to do 444? Anybody else got one? I don't want to hog them all. Yeah, we can do 444 because it's really similar, and it's the one that I was thinking of close to this one. I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and his glory, of Jesus and his love. I love to tell the story because I know 'tis true. It satisfies my longings as nothing else can do. I love to tell the story. 'Twill be my theme in glory to tell the old, old story of Jesus and his love. I love to tell the story. More wonderful it seems than all the golden fancies of all our golden dreams. I love to tell the story. It did so much for me, and that is just the reason I tell it now to thee. I love to tell the story. 'Twill be my theme in glory to tell the old, old story of Jesus and his love. I love to tell the story. 'Tis pleasant to repeat what seems each time I tell it more wonderfully sweet. I love to tell the story, for some have never heard the message of salvation from God's own holy word. I love to tell the story. 'Twill be my theme in glory to tell the old, old story of Jesus and his love. I love to tell the story, for those who know it best seem hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest. And when in scenes of glory I sing the new song, 'twill be the old, old story that I have loved so long. I love to tell the story. 'Twill be my theme in glory to tell the old, old story of Jesus and his love. Amen.
All right. Way to go. Yeah. The old, old story and another old, old story. It's about the same story. Amen. All right. Let's see here. Okay. Well, good to see you folks online with us tonight. Always good to have you with us. Visitors, good to have you in the house tonight. And we don't have our young... We had a young man visiting with us sitting in the back last Sunday night. Maybe he'll come back.
Was he here Wednesday night?
I don't know. Somebody said, was he here Wednesday?
It was Sunday night.
He was here, yeah. Nice guy.
Yeah, nice.
Amen. What do we have in this in order of praises and testimonies? Anybody? Yes, ma'am.
Gotta get the mic back to you.
Yeah. People online can't hear it. They want to hear it.
This is all about you, James, our good Sunday school teacher.
Oh, all
he's
right.
teaching us about being humble and serving
other
people.
Yeah, amen.
I remember when he first started how he didn't have any confidence in he's doing a great job.
Amen.
People still keep coming back. He's got a big class. Thank you for all your blessings.
Amen.
I would like to add to that because I mentioned to him how he's improved through the years. I quit going to Sunday school class for a while, and when I come back, I notice, wow. I had to tell him, you know, like, wow, man, you've smoothed out a lot. You know, you got it going on, you know. And
amen.
I appreciate what he does and the sacrifices he makes to serve this church, too.
My dad used to sing a song on Sunday mornings, everybody ought to go to Sunday school. And now that everybody's going out and the shopping without masks, y'all need to go to Sunday school.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. No doubt. Amen.
Well, I thank y'all. Yeah. I thank y'all for that praise. Amen. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Sound like Elvis Presley. Thank you very much.
Thank you. You know I do it all the time. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Elvis. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. I'll be here all week. Thank you very much. All right. Any other praises or testimonies? All right. We're working the room
I'm,
heavy over here.
Yeah. I'm thankful I got to spend the day with my two youngest, my son and my daughter. We went to the museum, and we went to all the stuff out there, and it's so funny how that they're grown. They're one's 23, one's close to 30, and they just are still like little kids. And so God gave me, even in looking at some little things at the museum that we saw, it just he gave me little moments to mention something about the Lord.
Amen.
And it was just a blessing. That's how he does it. And I'm thankful that we got a lot of kids coming to Awanus.
Amen. Yeah.
Yeah. So thank the Lord for that.
Yeah. Good work. All right, Awanus. Yes, sir. Frank's got a praise.
There you go, Frank. They want to hear you on the mic.
They what?
They want to hear you.
They want to hear me?
They want to hear you.
No, we want to hear you, Frank.
I appreciate an opportunity to speak before you people. Y'all don't know or really know me, and I'm coming to know you, and I'm thankful for that. But the praise that I want to bring forth is I have a dear, dear, dear friend who lives down in Lake Jackson. He's one of my bullet-stopping friends. I used to have five, now I have four. My friend's wife's father, no, a husband, 6, 7, 8 months ago, he was diagnosed with a heavy dose of cancer in his kidneys and in his lungs. After a month or two, the doctors told the family that the reality is he's very, very sick, and it's not likely that he will overcome this particular dose of cancer that he has. But they promised that they would do whatever they could with the chemicals at hand, with the treatment at hand, with the physical therapy at hand, and they would see what happens. Well, my friend kept reporting to me, coming from the patient to his wife, who is a sister of my friend, things began to look a little bit better. And about 4 or 5 weeks ago, my friend called me one afternoon and he says, Frank, said, you need to sit down because I've got some news for you. And I thought, what now? And he shared with me that Harold is the patient, had gone back to the doctor that day, and the doctors examined him and told him in the presence of his wife that this cancer is not nearly as severe as it was a month or two ago.
Wow.
And they told them then, says, we may have a fighting chance at this, but we don't want to mislead you. We just never know how this works out. So my praise is that now for about 3 weeks or a month, my friend keeps telling me, Frank says, Harold is better. Frank, Harold is better. Just keep praying for a friend.
Pray for Harold. Okay, Harold is better.
So this guy's name is Harold. He's in Lake Jackson. My friend is his brother-in-law through my friend's sister.
Yeah.
But I do want to say that I appreciate the prayers of this church. I hear you people pray, and my heart prays with you. But I just want to say that I am rejoicing with my friend's sister's husband and his family that the physicians have declared that he is much better. He's up moving around. Before, he was bedridden. But he's been up and about now for 3 or 4 or 5 weeks. I don't know for sure. But the point is, he is much, much better, and God has heard the prayers of his, God's people, and he's answered them in the affirmative. And Mr. Harold is doing a lot better, for which I am so very thankful. And I would just ask this church to keep Harold in your prayers in the days ahead. And if I get any more news from them, I will not be reluctant to share with you all here.
Amen.
So I appreciate an opportunity to stand before you. I've come to respect you people utmost. And let me say this while I'm on my feet. I am so pleased that the Lord decided to plant a church here in this place. The sign says 25 years. I wish it was 125 years. I'll be glad when it is 125
Amen.
Years.
That's just
but, the school. No, that's, yeah, that's right. Yeah. But nonetheless, I appreciate an opportunity to come among you, hear your voices, see how the word is presented to the people, and I'm thankful that God has planted his church and established his bride here in this place. So,
Amen.
Thank you for letting me speak to you, and I respect you most, and I love you in Christ.
Amen.
May God
thank
bless
you,
us
Harry.
All in this place.
Thank you, Frank. Thank you very much.
Yeah, amen. All right, any other praises? All right, prayer needs. All right, we got one in the back there. Let's see, yeah.
For Sharon Heibarger, please pray for my daughter, Kinsey. She has a persistent bladder infection and no insurance.
Kinsey. UTI. All right. We'll do it. Amen. All right, Brother John.
Well, we prayed for this individual yesterday, Brother Lee. We heard about on Friday that he went to the hospital. It was my neighbor's son-in-law. And to be honest with you, I didn't, not because of his actions, but I didn't really know he was a Christian.
Yeah.
But it's great to hear.
Amen.
To know that he is. He was an alcoholic, and 20 years ago he turned his life over to the Lord. But he went to the hospital, and needless to say, he passed away, stage 4 cancer. Right. And they're going to be holding a celebration of life for him in League City at the Life Point Church. But I wanted to read a little something that his daughter wrote, and that is, I know he would have loved to see all of us one last time. The love he showed to everyone was love straight from Jesus. Looking through the pictures of him in the last few days, I can see his heart radiating through his eyes and his smile. He loved people so dearly. I'm blessed to know him and so on to be have half of him in me. I pray I can exhibit the unequitable love to he showed to so many. As days pass on, I'm learning how many more he touched in the short time that he was on the earth.
Amen. What's the family's name, John?
It is Valisco, V A. Valisco,
V-A-S-S-I-L-I-C-O. Valisco, all right. Valisco family, all right, we'll do it. We'll pray for Dallas Purdy. Dallas Purdy's got some heart issues. I don't know if he was taken to the hospital today, but he was having some heart struggles. And then we want to continue to pray for Ukraine. Yes, ma'am.
Yes, we have, I wanted to pray, our little Awanis Club is kind of taking on a little missionary to learn about a little missionary family that I know of since they were little. And so they have a little ministry called Seed for the Cities, and they go around just around the country but also around the world to spread the gospel. Anyway, Brother Brian Green, they have, I don't even know how many thousands of Ukrainian print tracts that he brought over to the other side. So he was in he's in Europe, so he's going all through there, close to where that is going on, and trying to be a witness and help people and so forth. So pray for the Green family, Brother Green. Brian Green. My Aunt Patricia, is her surgery's coming up now on the 18th, that major back surgery. It's March 18th. And then if we could just lift Robert, my husband, up, and that God would just supply the needs of his heart.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Anybody else?
I got one. And pray for Ronnie. Pray for his foot. Foot been bothering him. Eyes been bothering him. So we want to lift him up in prayer.
Okay.
Amen. And as he's still trying to work and move about, I don't know. Give Anita, praise her for a new job, and I hope her back's not hurting as bad. Take your mind off of it a little bit, homie. You got a job. But anyway, pray for her. And pray for my mother. Lift her up, you know, spirit, just her spirit. She's up and down. You know, when you're by yourself, you have them, that roller coaster ride. So, but she's hanging in there.
Amen.
Amen.
Samaritans
first,
yes.
All right.
Amen, brother. Thank you for that. Yeah, they flew into Poland, and they're going to truck their portable hospital stuff all the way into Ukraine, man. That just blows my mind. Yeah, Samaritan's Purse, Franklin Graham. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer, shall we?
Amen.
Our Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight. And Lord, we do thank you for the praises that we've heard this evening, Lord. We thank you for this herald. We praise you for him, Lord. And it looks like a turnaround in his health with his cancer. We pray that there might be continued healing. And that, Lord, you might give him a testimony of healing, Lord. We just praise you and thank you for your grace. And Lord, when we hear these stories and testimonies of people being physically healed, it's a picture of being spiritually healed. And so, Lord, we just praise you and we thank you for that. Thank you for our salvation tonight. Lord, we're thankful for Sunday school and we're thankful for Awana's, Lord. And we're just thankful for the different ministries of the church and how people are growing in those ministries and taking on more responsibility. And, Lord, we just praise you and thank you for that. As we come to our prayer request tonight, Lord, we lift up Sharon Heibarger's daughter, Kinsey, with this UTI infection. We pray for her. We pray for healing for her, that you would get her through that. Lord, we lift up the Valisco family with the passing of Chris. And, Lord, we pray for that homegoing celebration down in League City. We pray for that one that will be officiating that service. We pray that there would be some Bible and some gospel, and, Lord, just a celebration of his salvation and seeds of salvation sown in the hearts of those that are lost that are in attendance. So, Lord, we just lift that family up to you. Help them as they go through that sudden loss of losing Chris so quickly and in such a devastating fashion. But, Lord, we pray for that family tonight. We lift up Dallas Purdy to you tonight. And, Lord, we pray for his heart condition and heart issues that he's going with and dealing with. Lord, we just pray you'd see him through and give his cardiologist the wisdom and discernment best how to treat him and get him back going again the way he wants to be going. Lord, we continue to pray for the situation in Ukraine. We pray for the different ministries there, the Samaritan's Purse, and we pray for Awana's, Lord, that is there. We pray for the people that are there, Lord. We pray you protect them. We pray for those freedom fighters, that, Lord, the loss of life would be minimal, and that, Lord, you would just really guide their efforts. Lord, not to just to kill a bunch of Russians, but just guide their efforts so it just is to the point where Vladimir Putin just can't lose any more assets, can't lose any more tanks, can't lose any more planes. Lord, we just pray you make their shots straight, you make their efforts good, and Lord, they're able to beat back this Russian invasion on their sovereign land. So Lord, we lift up Ukraine, all the people that are there helping, all the different ministries, Lord, we pray that through this incredible loss of life and property, that there would be people saved through this, that you would ultimately get the glory for all of this pain and suffering, Lord, as you bring beauty out of ashes as you always seem to do. So, Lord, we lift that situation up to you tonight. We pray for Loopy's Aunt Patricia and this next surgery she's getting ready to undergo on March 18th. We pray that her body would be ready, the surgeon would be ready, the anesthesiologist, everybody be ready to go. It'd be a successful procedure. Lord, we lift up Robert and we pray, God, that you would supply his needs and speak to his heart and just help him with what he's dealing with right now. We lift up Ronnie. We pray for this foot he's struggling with, Lord, and this eye that he continues to have issues with. And then, Lord, we pray for Alita and her back. We're praying for healing for these folks and improvement in condition and, Lord, just easing of pain and discomfort. We pray that you would touch with a mighty hand, God, and help these folks. We lift up Jeanette to you tonight. Lord, we pray for her, just her spirit as she's there alone. And Lord, we pray that you would encourage her and help her during this time. Lord, we thank you for loving us. We thank you again for saving us. Thank you that we can be in your word tonight. And Lord, we know you're coming back, so we praise you and thank you for that. It's in your name we pray, and everybody said, Amen. If y'all take a copy of God's Word, we are in Revelation chapter 19. I'll invite you to stand in honor of the reading of the inerrant Word of God. We'll begin reading in verse 1, and we'll take it through verse 6, and we're going to get a pretty good run here. We won't get through all six verses, but we will get cover some ground. The Word of God reads in Revelation chapter 19, beginning in verse 1, those of you with us online, it says, "After these things, I heard something like a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven saying, 'Hallelujah! Salvation and glory and power belong to our God, because His judgments are true and righteous. For He has judged the great harlot who was corrupting the earth with her immorality, and He has avenged the blood of His bondservants on her.' And a second time they said, 'Hallelujah! Her smoke rises up forever and ever.' And the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshiped God who sits on the throne, saying, 'Amen, hallelujah.' And a voice came from the throne saying, 'Give praise to our God, all you His bondservants, you who fear Him, the small and the great.' Then I heard something like the voice of a great multitude, like the sound of many waters and like the sound of mighty peals of thunder, saying, 'Hallelujah, for the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns.'" Amen. Thank you all for standing in honor of the read Word of God tonight, and may He add His tremendous blessing to it. Now, you'll remember, be reminded, that this past Wednesday, we were talking about how heaven praises God for salvation because God's judgments are true and righteous. That was kind of the end or the front end of verse 2, because His judgments are true and righteous, for He has judged the great harlot who was corrupting the earth with her immorality, and He has avenged the blood of His bondservants on her. We pick it up this evening. We're talking about how heaven praises God, heaven praises God because God's judgments are permanent. God's judgments are permanent. Verse 3, "And a second time they said, 'Hallelujah, her smoke rises up forever.'" Do you see that? Forever. Babylon's judgment provoked the first outburst of heavenly rejoicing, we said last time, by the angelic realm. The permanence of Babylon's destruction prompts the heavenly chorus for a second time to say hallelujah. Now, a little review on hallelujah. The Greek word allelui, or allelui, yeah, I'm saying it right, allelui, is a transliteration of a Hebrew phrase comprised of the verb hallel, to praise, and a noun yah, meaning God. The word hallelujah appears only in this chapter in the New Testament, in this section of Scripture called the fourfold hallelujah. Hallelujah's Hebrew counterpart, which is a phrase and not just one word like we find in our current passage, first appears, we said, in the book of Psalms. In Psalm 104, verse 35, it says, "Let sinners be consumed from the earth. Let the wicked be no more. Bless the Lord, O my soul." And then the hallelujah portion is, "Praise the Lord." Amen. I just want to give you that review if you weren't here on Wednesday night. At the finality of her judgment, Babylon was burned up with fire, per Revelation 18:8. And sinners, remember, they mourned as they watched the smoke rise into the sky. 18:9, again in Revelation 18:18. That smoke rises up forever and ever, indicates that this judgment is final. This judgment is permanent. This judgment is irreversible. Now, once a person dies, can they be prayed out of purgatory or prayed out of hell? I mean, once a person dies? I mean, it's, you make your decision here and now, right? Yeah. Yeah. So you get one life. And you get one shot. And when it's over, your destination is set, sealed, whatever you want to call it. Amen? Same deal here. Once the judgment has been concluded, once the judgment has been given, once the judgment has been exercised, it's a done deal, irreversible. The language is similar to that used of God's destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah in Genesis chapter 19, verse 28, and of the destruction of Edom in Isaiah 34, verse 10. Genesis 19, 28 reads this, "And he looked down toward Sodom and Gomorrah, and toward all the land of the valley. And he saw, and behold, the smoke of the land ascended like the smoke of a furnace." Isaiah 34, 10 says, "It will not be quenched night or day. Its smoke will go up forever from generation to generation. It will be desolate. None will pass through it forever and ever." Now, one commentator said, the flames and smoke will eventually die out. I mean, you're going to have the millennial reign. Jesus is going to reign for 1,000 years. Maybe so. But the judgment is eternal on the souls of the sinners destroyed in the city of Babylon. I think that's the point the passage in Revelation 19 is trying to make. Hell is a place where the lost will experience some horrific things. We covered those back in Revelation chapter 14, verses 10 and 11. The destruction of the last and most powerful empire in human history marks the end of lost humanity's day on the earth. The rebellion that began long ago, where did the rebellion begin, Pastor? All the way back in the Garden of Eden. The rebellion that began so long, long ago in the Garden of Eden finally ends at Babylon. Now, if you're up on your eschatology and you're up on your millennial reign, you know that there's a short-lived revolt at the end of the millennial reign in Revelation chapter 20, verses 7 through 10. We'll cover that when we get there, but it's over for lost humanity's reign on planet Earth. The theological application that we can kind of hang in on our mind is that there will be no more false religion, no more worldly philosophy, no more injustice, no more Vladimir Putin, no more of that, no more unrighteousness. All of the awful results of human depravity will be vanquished. Now that's an amen. That's an amen. Heaven praises God because God's judgments are permanent. Next we see, heaven praises God because God is in control. Because God is in control. And the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshiped God, who sits on the throne, saying, "Amen, hallelujah." And a voice came from the throne saying, "Give praise to our God, all you His bondservants, you who fear Him, the small and the great." Then I heard something like the voice of a great multitude, and like the sound of many waters, and like the sound of mighty peals of thunder, saying, "Hallelujah, for the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns." Now, as we get into this, in agreement with the angelic chorus that has already said their hallelujah, in agreement with the angelic chorus in the front end of chapter 19, hallelujahs ring out from other heavenly residents. The first ones we come to after the angels are the 24 elders and the four living creatures. Now the question is, who are the 24 elders? If you'll take your Bibles, you can go all the way back to Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4, that's where we kind of get an introduction to these 24 elders. Revelation 4, 4. Around the throne were 24 thrones, and upon thrones I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in white garments and golden crowns on their heads. Now, these are the same 24 elders from 4, 4 as we have in 19:4. So who are they? The identity of the 24 elders has been much debated. While some see them as an order of angelic beings, it seems best to view them as human representatives of the church. Now, I'll get into that a little bit further as we go through this. But several lines of evidence point to that conclusion. The reference to the 24 thrones on which the 24 elders sat, and again I'm referring to Revelation 4:4, indicates that they reign with who? They reign with Christ. Nowhere in Scripture do angels sit on thrones, nor are they pictured ruling or reigning. The angels' role is to, as Hebrews 1:14 says, are they not all ministering spirits sent out to render service for the sake of those who will inherit salvation? The church, on the other hand, is repeatedly promised a co-regency with Christ. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 11 and verse 12, the first part of verse 12 says, "It is a trustworthy statement, for if we died with Him, we will also live with Him. If we endure, we will also reign with Him." When we think about elders, starting back here in Revelation 4:4 and then taking it all the way to our passage where we're at in 19:4, elders is never used to refer to angels, but always to men. It's used to speak of older men in general, and it's used to speak of the rulers of both Israel and the church. There's no indisputable use of elders outside of Revelation to refer to angels. Some believe that elders in Isaiah 24:23, a lot of debate on that verse, refers to angels, but it could as well refer to humans. I'll read you the verse, Isaiah 24:23. "Then the moon will be abashed and the sun ashamed, for the Lord of hosts will reign on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem, and His glory will be before His elders." So why would they say angels? Because when we think about elder, elder would be an appropriate term to describe an angel, since an angel doesn't what? What doesn't an angel do? Huh? Well, die, okay, but why do people die? Okay. What does sin do to our bodies? Amen. We're dancing around it. We'll get there, amen. What do angels not do? They don't age. They do not age. Praise God. They don't age. Angels don't age. Boy, I sure have. And you sure have. And you sure have. Everybody I point to is aged, amen. Now, you can't tell how old John is. He keeps coloring his hair, amen. But everybody else in here, you colored your hair, didn't you? I know she colors hers. She's like, "Give me the evil eye. Don't talk about my hair color." Amen? Right? Right? They don't age. Right? They don't age. We age. Right? That's why we're called elders one day. Right? You know you're old when they call you an elder. "Oh, man, don't say that. Oh, you're an elder. I don't want to be an elder. I just want to be a young feller." "Oh, no, you're an elder. Look at all that gray hair on your head." Right? Angels do not age. While angels do appear in white garments, more commonly are the dress of believers. And that is particularly true in the immediate context of Revelation. Christ promised the believers of Sardis. We're going all the way back to the churches now in Revelation. Christ promised the believers at Sardis that they would be clothed in white garments. He advised the apostate Laodiceans to buy from me white garments so that you may clothe yourself. That's chapter 3, verse 18. And in the marriage supper of the Lamb, you want to flip back from 4:4 back to chapter 19, the marriage supper of the Lamb, His bride will clothe herself, 19:8, will clothe herself in fine linen, bright and clean. So white garments symbolize Christ's righteousness imputed to believers at salvation. Amen? That the elders wore golden crowns on their heads, as we read in 4:4, provides further evidence that they were humans. Crowns are never promised in Scripture to angels, nor were angels ever seen wearing crowns. Stephanos, the crown, is the victor's crown worn by those who successfully endured the trial, those who competed and won the victory. Christ promised such a crown to the loyal believers in Smyrna in chapter 2, verse 10. 1 Corinthians 9:25 says, "Everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things. They then do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable." Amen? 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8 says, "In the future there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved His appearing." Amen? James chapter 1, verse 12 says, "Blessed is a man who perseveres under trial, for once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love Him." 1 Peter 5:4, "And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory." Somebody say amen. Holy angels do not personally struggle with the triumph over sin. Thus, the overcomer's crown, the crown of those who successfully ran the race and finished victorious, would not be appropriate for them. So, knowing now that the 24 elders are what? Human. The question remains as to which humans they represent. The number 24 is used in Scripture to speak of completion and representation. There were 24 officers of the sanctuary representing the 24 courses of the Levitical priests. 1 Chronicles 24:4, Chronicles 24:5, 1 Chronicles 24:7-18. There were 24 divisions of singers in the temple. 1 Chronicles 25. Knowing now that the 24 elders are human, the question remains as to which humans they represent. Hopefully, it's becoming clear to you that the 24 elders represent a larger group. Some believers, some theologians believe the elders represent Israel. But while individual Jews have been and will continue to be redeemed throughout history, at the time of this vision, I'm speaking of Revelation 4:4, the nation as a whole has not yet been redeemed. The Jews' national judgment and salvation spoken of, take your Bibles and turn from Revelation 4:4 all the way to Romans chapter 11:26. Romans 11:26, are you there? "And so all Israel will be saved, just as it is written, the deliverer will come from Zion. He will remove ungodliness from Jacob." Now, back to Revelation 4:4. The Jews' national judgment and salvation referred to in Romans 11:26. We interpret that, conservative scholarship interprets that, as representative. Salvation will come representatively to the 12 tribes. There will be Jews saved throughout the 12 tribes, representing the 12 tribes. But that comes during the tribulation, chapter 6-19. When we're in Revelation 4:4, that's not quite happened yet, largely. And how does that happen in Revelation 6:19? It happens through the evangelistic efforts of the 144,000 introduced in chapter 7. So when the 24 elders are first introduced here in chapter 4, those events, Revelation 6-19, have not yet taken place. In our current passage in Revelation 19:1-6, specifically 19:4, they have taken place. Make sense? Amen? I'm taking you back to Revelation 4:4. We're doing a review on the 24 elders is what's happening tonight. Similarly, the elders cannot be tribulation saints since they too had not yet been converted in 4:4. The elders are already in heaven when the tribulation saints arrive. Revelation chapter 7, verses 11 through 14 describes the scene, if you want to read about it. The elders are also seen in heaven when other momentous events of the tribulation take place, such as when the kingdoms of the world become the kingdom of Christ. Revelation 11, verses 15 through 18. Such as when the 144,000 gather on Mount Zion. Revelation 14, 1 through 3. Such as when God destroys the Babylonian economic and religious system. Praise the Lord for that. Amen? That happens. We just covered that in that big parenthetical statement in Revelation 17, 18. 17 was the religious side of Babylon. 18 was the economic, the commercial side of it. Some would split the 24 elders into two groups of 12. One representing the church, the 12 apostles, and the other representing Israel, the 12 tribes. I really don't have a dog in the hunt. It doesn't matter to me if all 24 represents the church or if 12 represents the 12 tribes. Now, when you get to the 12 tribes, one of those tribes gets two representatives. So you really end up with 13 representatives representing the 12 tribes, right? You got Joseph's boys, right, representing one tribe, right? And then one of the tribes gets kind of demoted because of some really horrific sins. So maybe it all kind of blends in and they end up having 12. I don't know. Maybe there's one guy sitting and, okay, well, you sit there for a half a millennia and then we're swapping seats and you go behind and I get to be up front. I don't know, right? But all I can tell you is that the 24 are human. Some or all of them represent the church. And if you want to put the apostle, if you want to put the 12 tribes in there with the apostles, I'm fine with it. Amen? The main thing is we all get there, right? And it's called, when you get to these points of trying to figure them out, it's what we call the pan theory. It all kind of pans out in the end. Amen? 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 But the key point we want to make when we're talking about back to 19:4, and the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshiped God who sits on the throne saying, Amen, hallelujah. We want to know that we've already covered the angelic realm earlier up in the passage, and I heard something like a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven saying, that's 19:1, that's the angelic realm, salvation and glory and power belong to God, and that's what they're saying because his judgments are true and righteous, for he has judged the great harlot who was corrupting the earth with her immorality, and he has avenged the blood of his bondservants on her. And a second time they said, hallelujah, her smoke rises up forever and ever. That's the two statements the angels get to make. And then it goes, and the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshiped God who sits on the throne saying, Amen, hallelujah. Who are the four living creatures? We'll come back Wednesday night. We'll talk about it. Amen. We'll talk about it. Amen. So, what do we got? I think we made a pretty good run tonight. Amen. Are you good? Right? So Israel, apostles, or the church. Now, it really looks good having Israel and the apostles, and it looks good having the church. I can't get to one side or the other. Amen? But maybe somebody smarter that can figure that out. Amen, amen? Amen. Does that help you a little bit? It's a long review, but we had to go back to 4:4. Because we've been in the series of messages for, and we had COVID in the middle of that thing, and it really stretched it out. So some of these things we need to be refreshed on. Amen? All right, let's have a closing word of prayer tonight. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you, Lord, and as we close out, we want to remember to pray for Ronnie Holman tonight, Lord. Ronnie and Nancy, we want to continue to pray for them. We want to lift him up in his cancer battle and his cancer fight, Lord. And we just pray that you would help him bring healing to his body. And, Lord, just help him get over it and be with Nancy as she cares for him. And then, Lord, we continue to pray for Brother Paul McCormick. We pray for him and his fight, taking these chemo tabs, Lord, and the side effects that they're causing on his body. And Lord, just be with Pat as she cares for him. And Lord, we just pray for both of these families. And then Lord, we lift up old Johnny Hyman to you. And Lord, we pray that you help him just keep on keeping on as he's recovered from the COVID, but has some extenuating side effects and circumstances from it. So Lord, we just pray your hedge of protection around these folks. We pray your hand upon them. And Lord, we pray that you might see them through as they seek to serve you and seek to worship you and seek to be a part of your church, Lord. So we love you tonight. Thank you, Lord. Give us a good week. We thank you for the opportunity to be saved. We thank you for the opportunity to be a mouthpiece for you, God. And Lord, I pray the things that we say this coming week to other folks that are of the religious nature, of a spiritual nature, Lord, of a gospel nature, I pray that we'd be able to communicate those things in love and that we'd be able to speak peace and grace into people's lives as we try to point them to the cross, as we try to show them the gospel, as we try to illuminate them to the fact that if they don't know Christ, they better get to knowing him, Lord. They better get to knowing him before this thing wraps up, the rapture of the church comes, and who knows what's going to happen after that. So, Lord, a huge, awful tribulation a-coming, Lord, as events unfold. Lord, may we just continue to keep Ukraine on our minds and in our hearts. And, Lord, I pray that as Christians across this land and believers across this world, I pray that our prayers would just be united in strength and would go up to you, Lord, as a sweet offering of love and care and concern for a people group that is just getting pummeled by evil. So, Lord, we pray you might stand in the gap for them and reverse this tide in a mighty, miraculous way, God. We know you can do it. You're a miracle worker. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. Uh-huh. Tomorrow night, Monday night Bible study. Amen. All right.